Payments to households as part of the government's second stimulus package will start flowing tomorrow. Almost half of the federal government's $42 billion package is going to be spent on schools infrastructure and on building social housing, public housing. To get the deal through the Senate, the government agreed to make that $20 billion spending package more energy efficient. And we're still to learn more about how that's going to happen. But to get an idea of what it could mean, let's take a look at what's been going on in the United States. Matt Peterson is the CEO of Global Green, and he joins us from Los Angeles. Matt, welcome to breakfast.
Good morning.
Matt, when we talk about best practice for green building in America, the work you're already involved in, what do we mean?
Well, when we look at schools, a place that our children spend a majority of their time, if not their lives, there are so many opportunities to improve their lives that also benefit the school district. So we have more resources for whether it's textbooks or other resources for our kids or teacher salaries for that matter. So there are two primary areas that are of first concern. One is the energy efficiency of the schools. Again, if we can save money, that only helps the children. But related to that is how we use daylight. There are several studies that show that students score higher on test scores, 8 to 22% higher, if they're in green schools with better daylight. The other area is indoor air quality. So a lot of young people, particularly in areas that have poor air quality to begin with, the air quality within schools is often worse than the air quality outside. So if we can improve that, we lessen the amount of asthma or upper respiratory attacks that they have, reduce the amount of days that they're out sick, and reduce the amount of time a parent or caregiver has to spend to take those children to be taken care of at a doctor or a hospital. So it's just avoiding that downward spiral. So those are two of the big areas, but there are plenty of other opportunities as well.
Okay, now let's look at the work you've been doing. Your group has been involved in rebuilding schools in the Los Angeles district to make green schools, but also particularly almost a greenfield site after Hurricane Katrina, when all that rebuilding had to happen. What impact have you had on the rebuilding of New Orleans, and I guess focusing particularly on schools, but not just schools?
We went down with an ambitious plan to help rebuild New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina and the devastation. And we wanted to adopt a neighborhood to bring it back. We wanted to rebuild, target rebuilding 10,000 of the homes to be built green. And in New Orleans alone, if we applied some energy efficiency standards, that means saving $56 million a year for and an energy cost for families. And we also targeted greening of the schools. And on the schools, we've made good progress. We've gone in and done three energy retrofits and plan to do two more in improvement of indoor air quality and using a minimum amount of resources, about $50,000 to $75,000 per school. And those schools will save $25,000 a year on energy alone. Then we're doing some showcase schools where we're getting into really leadership levels, what's known as U.S. Green Building Council's LEED standard in the United States. Getting them to lead silver and using some additional funds we raised from the Bush-Clinton-Katrina Fund, which was dollars the former presidents pulled together to help rebuild the Gulf Coast. And we've really targeted those funds. And actually, there's some of the resources that we put up at greencrossaustralia.org that you can find down under and learn about what we have done for housing and schools as the nation begins to think about rebuilding after your own recent natural disasters.
That's right. We'll be rebuilding some of the buildings that burnt in the bushfires, and we'll also be doing this multi-billion-dollar spend on building new school buildings as part of the stimulus package. Is it measurable, Matt? Can you measure the impact? You talked earlier about the impact on individuals from operating in healthier buildings. Can you measure an improvement in student performance or student health for those who operate in what we might call green school buildings as against others?
We yes, you can, and there are certain areas that are a little more difficult to measure, but you can get to those measurements. Now, the easiest, of course, is energy savings. As electricity costs go up, as we push to have greener, cleaner energy so that our air quality is better, so we reduce climate change and reduce greenhouse gas emissions, we need to think about keeping those energy costs low. And you know, we can save 30 to 40% on a school on average, an existing school, and then the same or more on a new school if they go in with the right standards in new construction. Water efficiency, too. Again, there's a lot of savings, and this water is a scarce resource in many parts of the Southwest here in the United States, as well as I know is in Australia. So that's important from a resource perspective as well as a cost savings
perspective. Beyond the resource perspective, though, what about academic standards? Do kids perform better in school in green schools?
There have been three studies done in the United States, mostly around daylighting and some that include indoor air quality. So those studies have shown that student performance on standardized tests have gone up 8 to 22% on average. So that's been repeated on three different studies, so that's an average over those three studies. The anecdotal part of that reinforces the actual hard data is that we often talk to teachers, and when they're in a poor school environment, they often try to find the classroom with the best daylight and the best ventilation to take their kids into when it comes time for standardized tests every year. Why? Because students are more alert and more attentive and better able to concentrate. So it's kind of goes back to common sense, but we can prove it back to the results.
Now, I know it's hard to do, but I just wonder if you can give us an idea of what the ideal green classroom or school building might look like if we're looking at air quality, energy efficiency, and better use of daylight. Are we talking bigger windows that open? Are we talking skylights? What might it look like?
You probably want to have windows that have light shelves, so you're getting direct sunlight, but you're reflecting that light into the room, so it's not always direct light onto the and coming up with glare when you have direct sunlight. So you find strategies architecturally design-wise to be able to maximize the daylight without increasing the heat gain so much. You just end up either having to use all that air conditioning, or you get so much glare in the room, you got to shut the window, put the shades up on the windows, and then you've got to use all artificial lighting. So it's a smart strategy. We used to do it all the time in our construction and architectural practices, but with air conditioning and lighting, we forgot common sense, and so we need to return to that, and that's part of the strategy. It's also using natural shading, so in areas so you get. That helps diffuse the sunlight too, as well as, but you still get direct sunlight, but it also helps cool the buildings naturally, provides a better place for children to gather. We have a lot of schools in this country that built in the 50s and 60s and even the 70s that feel like prisons rather than schools. And so part of how to improve that is through landscaping. The other thing is, you know, of course you want to integrate things on schools such as solar, where you're producing energy year-round, and it's reducing the energy bill. And if there are times when those classrooms aren't being used, the money can go back into the grid. I know in South Australia there's a feed-in tariff policy that the regional government's passed. So a number of ways that could help be beneficial to the school district and other ways as well. So and then you try to integrate these green features into the curriculum. So how can teachers use whatever green features are incorporated into their math, science, or other classes that are appropriate? And that's something we've been working on here to sort of round out the benefits of green schools, use green schools as a teaching tool as well.
All right, Matt, look, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, and people can learn more at greencrossaustralia.org.
greencrossaustralia.org. Thanks very much, Matt. Matt Peterson is the founding CEO of Global Green in America, which is a subset of Green Cross International, and I guess we'll be looking forward to hearing more details. Those green elements of our economic rescue package should be coming out soon. It's 8:15 on Breakfast.